It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday. This is Bear. Myself and Marcus Young will be with you for the drive home. And Marcus is in with the Top 5 at 5. Marcus, what do you have, sir?
Thank you, Bear. At number one, Tennessee Vols baseball happening as we speak, as they are getting ready for the bottom of the second against UNC Asheville. If you wish to tune in, the SEC Network Plus is where you shall go. A little bit of a...
You hang out with us here for the... Well, yeah. There's plenty of game to watch later, Mark.
That's true, yeah.
Fair Knotted point. Up at zero right now. Tennessee had a couple of base runners.
Yeah, Maui had a walk at the very beginning.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's still early.
Yeah, I fully expect us to take care of business here. Number two.
At number two, the NFL is now adopting the number zero to join the ranks for jersey numbers. The league voted Tuesday or today to allow all players other than offensive and defensive linemen to be able to wear the jersey number zero. The proposal was submitted by the Philadelphia Eagles, and they also allow kickers and punters to use any number between 0 through 49 and 90 and 99. Kickers were much more limited with jersey numbers, similar to the quarterback. So...
I never understood what the big... I guess I don't understand why the rules were written.
Yeah, it's strange because, like, you look at, like, college basketball and the NBA. You can wear a lot more numbers in the NBA than you can in college basketball. And their reasoning is because the referees want to be able to look at the scoreboard and be able to easily tell you what number.
Yeah, do it. There's some hands that are... There's certain numbers that you can't... communicate with hand signals to the scorers table. That's why it is.
Well, right, but why is it the NBA is totally fine with that? That's what's confusing to me.
I have no idea.
That's why it's just odd. But honestly, it doesn't affect me one way or the other, but I think it's pretty cool that it's happening. I think, why not? And as mentioned before, Calvin Ridley, as of right now, has already shared that he will be wearing the number zero. He is the first to...
Ridley is?
Yeah, for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Was that what he was in college? Was he a zero?
That is a very good question. He was at Alabama, wasn't he?
Yeah. Was he at Alabama? Hell yeah, he was.
Well, I...
Never lost to us.
Well, you don't have to put it that way.
Well, he didn't.
Well, yeah. No, he was number three, but... I mean, hey, why not? Why not indeed? Number three... The PGA Tour fall events will be moving, oh boy, from Mayakoba to El Cardonal. Cardonal?
No. What are you looking at me for?
I was hoping maybe you knew a little bit. El Cardonal, Tiger Woods designed course in Mexico, will be the site of the Worldwide Technology Championship this fall, the PGA Tour announced today. The PGA Tour's agreement with Mayakoba, which was designed by LIV Golf CEO Greg Norman, ended after 2022. Mayakoba will be hosting the LIV Golf's 2023 season opener in February. So a little bit of shuffling around of locations. Feels like LIV is once again getting in the way of things.
Yeah. I did see something recently about the pending court case they had that, I mean, for them to carry on with that suit, it puts a lot of people, some in the royal family and with the wealth fund, the Saudi, you know, all their money,
mm-hmm.
It puts them in a position where they're more than likely going to be asked to be deposed as witnesses. So you're talking about people that don't like answering questions from anybody at any time about anything that they do.
Right. No, so it's going to
be... I have a hard time believing you're going to see MBS, the guy who basically runs Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Mohammed bin...
You're on the right track, I know
Mohammed
that.
Bin Salman. Anyhow, I don't want to sit in a courtroom or any kind of room and answer questions from a lawyer.
No.
Who can ask anything.
Yeah.
And I guarantee I know a bunch of lawyers, you know, you get somebody like that in a room, they'll figure out a way that they can ask about
certain,
you know, murder that took place at your embassy. You chopped up a reporter, carried him out in a briefcase. So I don't know. The live golf thing, it's kind of like the USFL to me, Marcus. I mean, I know it's out there, but I'm never going to watch it. I don't care who they've got.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch PGA Tour events. So
I feel like that's how most people feel at this point.
Yeah.
At number four, two groups have submitted a $6 billion bid for the Commanders. The Josh Harris Mitchell Rails Group, which now includes Magic Johnson, has officially submitted a fully financed bid for the Washington Commanders that will meet Dan Snyder's $6 billion asking price. Canadian billionaire Steve Apostopop. Oh, boy, I cannot say that. It's a Greek last name. We'll just leave it there. Steve.
Astapopopos.
Yeah, something like that.
That's how you got to do it. Just Astapopopos.
We'll just say Canadian Steve also has submitted in a fully funded $6 billion offer for the Commanders as well. If either bid is accepted, the deal would break the previous record sale for a franchise set last August when a group led by Walmart heir Rob Walton bought the Denver Broncos for $4.65 billion. There is also interest from the NBA Houston Rockets owner, Tillman Fredda, also is interested in purchasing the Commanders. So there, and the Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment Group, who owns the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. So there's a lot of interest. Like Russell said, there's a lot of groups doing it. It's no longer an individual.
Well, yeah, because they're obscene, astronomical amounts of money. I wonder, like, if they did buy it, and that guy in the ownership group is good, and they get the franchise back. I wish they'd just go back to the Washington football team. I like that a lot better than the Commanders. But if they get the franchise healthy again, I'm not the only, OG Washington fan on this show.
You're saying Russell?
Yeah.
You think Russell's going to leave the Titans?
I don't know if he'd leave the Titans, but he would definitely, definitely talk smack about his Commanders.
I wish they would have done. There was a few suggestions by fans. Red Wolves was one, and I think Red Hawks.
Yeah.
Those would have been better than Commanders. I do agree with the Commanders. It's just
WFC, Washington Football Club.
And finally, at number five, a startup has actually made meatballs made out of mammoth.
How did they make them out of mammoth? They found one frozen in Siberia?
No, an Australian company today actually lifted the they created genetically grown meat that is part of the same genetic makeup of a mammoth.
Okay, here's my first question.
Yes.
If you're capable of growing meat in a lab using genetic material,
uh-huh,
why would you not pick something that not like, I mean, why would I want to eat a furry elephant meatball?
That's fair. Cultivated meat, also called cell-based meat, is made from animal cells. Livestock doesn't need to be killed to produce it, which advocates to say is better not just for the animals, but also for the environment. So that is part of the reason why they've created this mammoth meatball.
Why don't they want to try it? You grew it. Take a bite.
I have to imagine they probably took a bite. You don't think fur is coming out of it, do you?
No, Marcus, you just read to me that nobody had tried it.
Oh, no. So, no, what their point was is that livestock doesn't need to be killed to create this type of...
No one's tried the meat.
I don't think I've said that. I think I said probably that I wouldn't try it. If it would feel too... I feel like it would be too tough. Too tough of meat. And I'm not high on that kind of meat.
I'm just not the whole elephant part of it. I don't want to eat an elephant.
Well, technically, you're eating an extinct elephant, the mammoth.
Yeah, it was an elephant that was in really cold climate, so it evolved by and was able to stay alive by having those massive coats of fur.
So the experts say that if this technology is widely adopted, it could vastly reduce the environmental impact of global meat production in the future.
Dude, it won't happen in our lifetimes, man.
No, I agree.
Somebody, I don't know who it was something about just pointing out to everybody that if you're using a gas stove, the way I understood it, and it's just common sense, you just got a source of carbon monoxide pumping, carbon monoxide into your house. But well, then it became quickly, because we're completely insane in this country, they're coming for our stoves.
Yeah, so the jumbo meatball is actually on exhibit in Amsterdam at the moment, sized somewhere between a softball and a volleyball is how big they made it.
I'm not taking a bite out of that thing. No. How much would I have to pay you?
For me to do it?
500.
Yeah, 500 would be enough.
If I threw some, maybe some
marinara sauce, maybe.
Yeah, some spaghetti sauce on
Yeah,
it.
I need a little bit of sauce to, because like I said, I think it's going to be tough meat.
I think it's going to be kind of gamey myself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're going to make this really out there for people to purchase, but if it ever comes up, look, if it shows up at Kroger or Food City, pay me that $500 and I'll buy us one. That's
is that the top? Is that five?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Kind of stuck the lane. I would not. I absolutely 100% would not.
That's fine.
But that's just me. I'm really funny about food. I don't eat veal.
Really?
No.
Was it like an incident, or you just choose not to?
Choose not to. I dated this girl in college, and she was like into one of those people, the PETA people. And
oh, PETA?
Yeah. Is it PETA or PETA?
It's PETA.
Whichever. Those people. And that's the only thing that stuck after that, was like, hey, you get veal.
Oh, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, see? I ain't eating that.
I was that way when it came to that Super Size Me documentary. For like maybe a month, maybe 2 months, I stopped eating McDonald's, but I was right back on it.
Everybody is.
Yeah, it's just how it,
It's like crack rock.
It is.
So, well, we're going to go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines and grab Phil. Philly, how are you?
Sorry, Burr.
What's going on, buddy?
How you in Washington?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Well, that's pretty cool. WSR,
He had something to do with his, it was a family thing, Phil.
Okay. I'm going to rip him. Put him on his toes,
He's the hardest working man in showbiz.
I am going to ask y'all about, I heard the morning crew ripping the Eagles and the Beatles this morning. I don't want to talk about that much, but
they were ripping who?
The morning show
was ripping the
three and out.
They were ripping the guys on the evening show.
No, they were ripping the Beatles and the Eagles.
Yeah, the Beatles and the Eagles.
That's a blasphemy, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm with you here, Phil.
I mean, look at who you're talking about, Phil.
Hickman doesn't know music.
Hickman doesn't know music. Houston Crest, the only band he likes is Tool. Nate Hodges, known dullard. And then you've got the kid that won't talk into his microphone. So I don't take my music tips or advice or look for insight from that crew. The Beatles? The Beatles?
Yeah. Beatles, yeah.
Without the Beatles, there wouldn't
Jordan Miller or rock music, would
it? No.
Of course, there's no rock music now. That's what, so it's just noise now.
Yeah. We need another invasion. We need a good British rock band to come just out of nowhere and take the world over by storm, Phil, like that.
Or reunite.
They could. So what do you think? Well, did you hear the results of our poll, Phil?
Oh, they gave it to me.
What was it? 87%? Approval for Coach Rick Barnes.
Adding strongly approve and just to prove it was about 86
or 87. Yeah.
So 14% disapproved.
Well, no, 13, 12 disapproved, and then 1%, which I got a feeling I'm pretty sure I know who those votes were, strongly disapprove.
Well, that's Brad LaFollette's one of the smart ones. He's like me.
Well, there's you guys.
We don't want to be a part. We don't want to say we're one of the dumbest fan bases in America and wear it proudly. I want to win.
I don't
want to be mediocre and second rate.
I don't think we're neither mediocre nor second rate, Phil.
We are.
I think Rusty
said
it.
The way Tennessee is just choke. That's all they do over there is choke.
Rusty said yesterday, and it was a good idea, honestly, of having like a middle ground where it's like you don't necessarily approve or disapprove. You just feel
you accept it.
Yeah, you just kind of accept it.
It is what it is. We're going to be really good regular season, top five, in and out of the top five. We're going to make the tournament. We're usually going to have we're going to be probably
a five seed or higher every time.
Yeah, the lowest I would imagine would be 4 or 5 seed. And at that point, you just got to hope that one of these years, it just all clicks like it did for us last year in the SEC basketball tournament. That's what's going to – it's going to happen like last year did, Phil. Nothing – I mean, it's
out of the blue.
Yeah, and I think it's going to catch us by surprise, and it's going to be so damn sweet when it happens. I still – even, like, everybody keeps talking about how this bracket opened up this year, Phil, but we weren't in a position where we could take advantage of it. Mainly,
well, we weren't even playing good when Zucker was in, before he got hurt.
Yeah, and it's weird, you know. I mean, it would have been one thing had we beaten, like, all the middle tier. If our losses had been to, say, you know, Kansas, Alabama, Texas, if we'd lost that, whatever, you know, the exhibition game against Gonzaga. But that's the weirdest part about this season to me. We beat the hardest teams on our schedule, and then – lost to teams we had no business losing to. Although I will say that
we played up to the competition or down to it, didn't we?
Yeah, and then the two that really got us, I felt like were very similar in style, and that was FAU and Mizzou.
Well, yeah. Missouri just had the perfect formula to beat in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Kentucky, I hate Kentucky. Kentucky showed our flaws when we went up there. When they come down here and beat us in Knoxville, and that was the beginning of our demise this year. That our weaknesses were exposed, and Kentucky won the game. And after that, we were just up and down the whole rest of the year.
And they weren't very – like, I lumped them in there with, you know, Arkansas and, you know, I know they beat us twice. Man, that wasn't a very good Kentucky team. We saw it. They got bounced. Post-haste.
Well, what are they going to do next year? I care now.
Year for Tennessee?
Over, move on.
I don't know. Have you happened to read Grant Ramey's article yet? I believe it was Grant on three with our guy, BJ.
Yeah, I read it, and I've been hearing other stuff, noise on, but I believe Grant Ramey's right. I think BJ will be on the campus next year here. I don't have no 100% source on this, but you know, well, me and you both are close to the situation in two or three different areas, and it's just my opinion. Barnes is not going to be able, I don't think he'll bring in a great point guard anyway, so they'll have to play BJ.
Well, I mean, after reading the article, first off, hats off to BJ. I texted a mutual friend of ours, like, you know, my first read on this is BJ's handling this season a lot better than the rest of us have. So
yeah, you know, BJ's a winner, Bear. I really think it'd be kind of good to get these seniors out of here. They weren't good at leaders, really. I mean,
I'm not going to go that.
The only one I'd want to stay, but the rest of them, bye to them. And I think May, Shaq, and BJ could be leaders of this new basketball team.
Well, what I noticed in that article is he mentioned it in responding to one of Grant's questions, but he basically was talking about how him, DJ, and Freddie Buckets ran scout team, and he was talking about, you know, that's, you spend a year doing that, you got three guys as talented as those three are. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing
Manchak with that. That's a four good guards for your for two positions.
Yeah. And then
Estrella,
bring Ziegler back when he's 100% healthy, and hopefully, ideally to me, we could go back to Ziegler playing off the ball, because that's when he creates complete chaos.
Well, not playing 30-something minutes a game, either. He needs to play about 20 to 22 minutes a game and
yeah,
not get, you know, physically gassed like he was last year.
Yeah, you need him. He's a now, I will say, Zakai's last 5 minutes of game player to me, don't you think? Jay, you want him, a fresh Zakai at the end of the game? I mean, he's a turnover machine. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's so disruptive. And then you've got, I mean, like, I'm really looking forward to next year with Iwaka. You know, we've got a lot of – I think there's a lot to look forward to between the guys, you know, and hopefully Julian Phillips comes back. We could actually end up being a lot better next year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. They got to find a way to get him involved in offense, though. I mean, he's already a great defender, but his offense – Rick Barnes destroys offense over there. He's very similar to Jeremy Pruitt.
No, I can't go there with you. I wish that we could figure out what I think he could do is what, you know, I know Bowden's quite a bit. He's not nearly as tall as Julian. But, you know, back when we were, you know, what, 18, 19, when we were really good on those Grant and Admiral teams, Bowden would just absolutely destroy people with big plays. The big alley-oops,
yeah,
big jams.
Bowden got the Barnes disease, and he deteriorated his career at UT. No sweat.
I think that had more to do with the fact that he went from drawing the third best defender on the perimeter to the next year he was getting number one every night.
One more thing, I want to talk about this. Is this guy, this quarterback from Georgia, committed already?
The kid from Savannah? No, it's what? It's 12 noon on Thursday, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay. So. I was reading some stuff on him last night. He's very impressive, and look what Heupel's done. And he's done it with smoke and mirrors, all honesty, guys. I mean, we've had no defense for 2 years. And I really think defense is going to be really improved this year. And
well, I mean, that's what
does it
what
translate
saying.
Into more wins and losses? I don't know, but – I think 9-3 is on the table.
I think that's absolutely on the table. You know, I'm not going to put 10 off the table. A lot of things would.
You from Stride, don't say 12-0, you know.
I'm sure by July I may have myself talked into it, you know what I mean? Hope springs eternal. Feels good to be able to do that with and say it with a straight face, though. Like past.
Well, at least there's hope. We beat Bama. We beat Florida, and, I mean, when's the last time that happened in 1 year?
Oh.
National championship year? Or 2000 and
– Oh, what, 2001 we did.
2001, man. That's been a long time ago.
The September 11th year.
I will mention Rodney Garner has had some really good things to say about the defensive line transfer, Omar Norman Lott. Says he brings a lot of natural stuff to help out this position group. So, you know, obviously got Big O there, Elijah Simmons, Brian Easton. You know,
yeah, the other one, Phil, that I heard that I forgot how it was described, that your eye, when you see him, when he walks out on the field with his helmet on, that your eyes are drawn to him is the Cam Seldon. That hybrid running back slot.
Yeah, I've also heard that the Carter kid, you know, that we got from Alabama, from our mid-state, he's got the potential to be one of these guys that been going to Alabama and, you know, burning our butt at linebacker. We need somebody big time at the linebacking position to upgrade there. Although Beasley's got better, but you need a, you know,
well, I mean,
catch me out in there with him.
Yeah, the kid, the is it, what'd you, it Peely, right?
Peely, yeah, that's what Ryan.
Yeah,
Shumpert
the middle linebacker from transfer from BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm talking about the freshman from Sparta, Tennessee, or somewhere.
Yeah,
around there.
Aaron Carter? Yeah, I mean they've been high on him.
Yeah, you got that transfer, and he's going to be a big help. I mean, at least you got depth there now. We didn't handle depth at linebacker in the last 2 years.
No, but the other thing about the one thing about Beasley is he's a veteran guy, knows where everybody's supposed to line up, hyper aggressive, and is not afraid to come up and lay the wood. So he had some big plays towards the end of that year. He definitely had a couple in that Orange Bowl. He abused that kid.
We're going to year three, though, and is the secondary going to be improved? I don't know. I mean,
we'll just have to see.
I've seen better high school secondaries once I got over there, you know what?
Now, Phil, come on.
What's the truth?
Maybe at IMG. That'd be the only high school.
That Beamer clown beat us. I mean, that's just it's inexcusable. I hate that guy. He's horrible, but he beat us.
I mean, we did go 11-2, and we're Orange Bowl champions, Phil. Beat Clemson.
Come on. But if we beat South Carolina, we're in the playoffs. See you.
And we wouldn't have beaten Georgia. Just saying. Ugh. As much as that galls me to say it. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our first break here, try and reset. Coming back, we're going to have Marcus, hopefully, will be bringing something, see what's going on the internet today. You're listening to Drive on Fan Run Radio.
It's time for Today on the Internet.
Welcome everyone back in. We'll go with Today on the Internet. Marcus Young. Marcus, what do you have for us today?
Well, I've got a couple for you. Interesting one is, I assume you are not one who enjoys the uncomfortableness of an elevator.
No, I don't. I try not to take them.
So, this woman was filmed on an elevator. She just so happened to have a guitar with her, an acoustic guitar. And while everyone seems to be trapped in this elevator, she starts to sing Country Roads. Oh, Country Road. I can't do the whole song because I think we'll get in trouble. And everybody, every single person in that elevator.
Lean into it.
They
country
look miserable.
Roads.
Take me home to the place, the John Denver Classic.
Yeah.
I love the song. But if I'm stuck in an elevator and that person is just playing that and, like, I'm having to sit there and embrace it, I'm going to be miserable.
Have you never heard the infamous Wes and Franklin song, You're Going to Get Rolled?
I think I have, actually, yeah.
That saying to that, You're going to get rolled, and you're inbred mama. Yeah, I'm, like, I saw the video, and that elevator's packed.
Yeah, like at least 10 people.
But you know me. You know I'm not just going to stand there and stare straight ahead with some dummy doing that.
No.
I'm going to be polite. I'll be like, look, it's a stressful situation. Put the guitar away.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear you singing.
Well, it seemed to be to catch the end of the song because she just kept doing the chorus like two or three times.
I'm
one of those
people.
Being
stuck in an elevator with what appeared to be 15 people way up. And I could tell they've had the doors open, and I worked at a bar downtown. We had an elevator. It was constantly getting screwed up because you had to be really careful about balancing the weight. And if you're carrying kegs up and down on the elevator, it would, like, you know, the elevator car itself would, like, tilt. And not super noticeable, but enough to mess up the elevator and get you stuck in between floors. But when, like, I noticed that video, when you open up an elevator doors, like when it's stuck and you're in between floors, incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
That's why they tell you to wait for the fire department.
Yeah.
You can fall and end up flipping right back underneath the elevator. So, but just, who does that,
no,
dude?
I know, man. Well, the other thing is I don't like elevator rides with people anyway.
Mm-mm.
Because it always gets awkward for whatever reason. Something happens. Like the last time I was in an elevator, there was an older couple that came in, I let them in first. I followed behind. He asked me what floor. Now, he was... I want to see how... He was, I believe, somewhere out east. So he didn't have a great understanding of English. And not only that, but he
was
older.
What is out east?
I don't know for sure. I believe he was Indian, but I don't know for sure.
He's from the Far East is what you call it.
Yeah, okay.
He's asking you what floor, and you didn't want to tell him what floor.
No. I told him what floor. I was like, floor. Why? I have no problem with him knowing what floor I was going to.
I don't do that.
He asked me what floor he was going to hit the button for me, and I said, yeah. I said floor 3.
You want a pro move?
And he
a
goes,
pro tip?
What's that?
You tell him one floor difference from where your room is, and then you get off the elevator, and then you go down either down a flight or up a flight to your real room.
Fair. Well, I just said floor 3, and he said 23, and I said no, floor 3, because there's clearly not 23 floors. And he just hit 2. Just hit a random one. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to get off. And, of course, awkwardly got off the elevator, waited for the doors to shut, and I called back the elevator so I could get to my actual floor. It was very confusing and frustrating. The second thing I've got for you, March 28th there's a couple different holidays, but this one was the most intriguing to me. March 28th for a holiday is the Barnum and Bailey Day.
I've got very mixed feelings about the circus.
Specifically the Ringling Brothers or just
yes.
in general? Okay.
Just circuses in general, but...
Do you have a traumatizing experience?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
With the clown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hate clowns.
Are clowns... I mean, most people hate clowns, so I don't think they're awesome.
Most people, does your fight or flight response kick in immediately when you see one?
I definitely move out of the way.
I tell you, I would straight up punch a clown right in that big red phony nose.
How did you deal?
I don't trust him.
Do you remember that whole little instant a few years ago when people were running around parks and stuff like that?
Oh, dressed up and they've got somebody sitting 50 feet away that you don't know about that's filming you.
Yeah,
like the ones where they chase people, freak out and start running. I think those people are probably in on it.
Yeah,
I mean, most of the dudes I know, including everybody here, ain't running.
Yeah,
you come running at me like that, dressed up like a clown, you kind of feel like you run the chance of getting dropped. You seen that happen?
I have.
People
seen
don't
that.
Run and they just drop them.
Yeah,
one shot. I'm not running from a damn clown.
So did the clown pie your face or something and it just
No, I had my head turned and it was a big clown on side. I can barely remember this. I was like a tiny little Civic Coliseum. Early 1970s, yeah. But the one on stilts was bent all the way down. And I was on 3 or 4 and I turned back around and he's just right there in front of my face. Oh. And he went, boo, and then started screaming, laughing, and stood up.
I feel...
Raised up and...
He should be arrested. I feel like you shouldn't do that to a child.
I mean, you know, it's been nightmare fuel ever since. But no, I don't like clowns. You never know how a clown really feels, Marcus.
See, fair. That is very fair.
They can feel very malevolent. And they'll still paint a smile on their face. You can't trust them.
I feel like I was going to initially think that you hated circuses because, how most of them are well known for mistreatment of animals.
I've got a lot of issues with those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me, but the major thing is just the animals.
Yeah.
And being, made to perform and just, I'm not saying Barnum and Bailey didn't do good. It's my understanding that they were very generous when it came to conservation for a lot of the wild animals and everything. It's just, and nobody wants to ride around on a railroad car, city to city.
No.
I don't know. That's me personally.
I will put this out there. So they initially ended in 2017, but there's a chance there could be a relaunch of the Ringling Brothers. So who knows? Maybe a clown will return to the Civic Coliseum and...
Yeah, I won't be there.
Get punched by Bear.
Yeah. Don't like him, not one bit. Huh? But I saw that they're putting together an animal-less tour. They're bringing the circus back. They've been off the road for a couple of years, I believe.
Right, yeah, yeah. Honestly, I don't mind them doing no animals. Like, that's fine by me.
It's like other circuses that I'll tell you what I'm sucker for is like the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to see that.
Now, hey, the Chinese acrobats when they come to Tennessee Theater.
Right.
Don't sleep on that. Low-key, kind of pricey to get in to see that.
Oh, I could bet, yeah.
Yeah, but you're seeing you got like 30 or 40 people, and those stunts are insane to me.
Yeah, it's incredible some of the contortionists and people like what they can do.
I'm a big, I always liked Cirque du Soleil. That was kind of cool. I'm a circus person, and I loved it when I was a kid. But as I got older and learned more about it, and I am pretty pro animal. I mean, it's pretty well known my stance on animals, animal rights.
Oh, that's what I was saying. I'm very aware of how you feel about the...
Yeah.
I mean, we had, a full week where we talked about a single elephant in a funeral,
Yeah, it's the petty of pettiest moves ever. Elephant murked that lady, the poacher. She had it coming.
She did.
But it killed... The lady was involved with the hunting group that killed her, the elephant's calf, I guess.
Yeah.
Offspring. Elephants don't forget, man.
No, they do not.
Damn elephant went like 90 kilometers? Showed up at the lady's funeral, pulled her body off the funeral pyre. I guess she was Hindu. And then trampled it again. When you see stuff like that, Marcus, it makes me wonder.
It makes you think.
Hell yeah, it does. Well, they do other things. I saw a set of, I guess it was National Geographic, there was a lioness and her cub, and the cub was pretty much almost dead from the heat.
Oh.
And then it just a series of pictures where this bull elephant picked up the lion cub with its, or the young lion with its trunk, and carried it to the water. So, I don't know, something's going on.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Huh?
So... That was a pretty good edition of Today on the Internet.
I'm happy with it. I learned a lot today.
We all know what's trending on Twitter right now.
Right. It was definitely a little bit more difficult.
Yeah,
to,
and that's not...
It's not something we need to...
No.
...bog down on.
No, and it's the kind of thing where people that are a heck of a lot smarter than me,
sure,
can have a nuanced discussion about all that. I don't like hearing about it.
Yeah, it's just tough. So
because I don't feel like anything's ever going to change. So, and that's about as far as I want to go.
I'm good with that. So. Leave it right there.
Anyhow, we will be right back with the shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next on Fan Run Radio. Winding down here on the drive. Kind of a lazy Tuesday afternoon.
It's because of the heat. It's getting warm out there, and you just kind of want to...
That maybe don't eat lunch 2 minutes before you go on air, Marcus. You might not be... So I didn't bust you out to Russell. I didn't tell on you.
Technically, it was my lunch and dinner.
Well, that's fine.
My dinner.
Technically, you started nodding out on me in an A block.
Look.
But I didn't tell everybody about it.
I had a very early morning. I had a morning shift. And I'm still getting used to morning shifts because my body still struggles with sleeping a normal person's schedule. And
it's
so,
another one of those instances where, Marcus, where it sounds like I'm hearing is a lot of excuses. And you know what they say about excuses?
What do they say?
They're like noses. Everybody's got one.
All I'm saying is I was up very early. And so, yes, for a moment,
you have to admit, though, it was cool of me that I didn't immediately tell on you and let everybody know that you were snoozing.
You know, that's fine. I wasn't snoozing. I don't think we need to
snooze. No, you weren't snoozing. Everybody that's listening, you all know, just picture this. You know that deal you do when you're the nodding out?
Yeah.
Where your head's rocking back and forth and then you catch it?
start to feel it. Yeah, no, look, I'll admit that. I'm not afraid to admit that.
Well, I don't care whether you're afraid or not. I mean, it's just it's simple fact. You had no idea what was going on.
No.
Around you.
I had some idea.
Dude, you were almost asleep.
I was.
Our voices had become low drones in your ears. We had soothed you into sleep. So, but again, I do want a gold star because I didn't ratchet out to everybody.
I appreciate that.
You know.
I appreciate that. I'm, well, look, yeah.
I may have texted Russ, to be honest.
Damn it.
I think Marcus is going to sleep in here on me. So.
Well, that's another reason why I was sitting up, because I was like, if I lean back in this chair, I'm going to get another photo of me taken. And
sit. Yeah, I've still got it.
I know you do.
Hey, well, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever just accidentally sat down and started watching a show that you would normally never in a million years watch, and then like 7 hours later, you've binge-watched the whole first season?
Yes. So for me, it was a super popular show, and it's about to do its final season. But I didn't think I'd like it because I'm not really big into like drama business stuff.
What is it, Succession?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that.
I decided to start watching it, and before I knew it, I was binge-watching the first three seasons.
Kind of not what I'm talking. I'm talking about something that, on first glance, you think just sounds like a really dumb premise.
I don't know. Maybe, but not off the top of my head.
There is a show called Class of 07 on Amazon Prime.
Oh, Class of 07. I've heard that somewhere.
It's an Australian show, and it's about these girls from a Catholic girls' school, all-girls school. There's a 10-year reunion, and then like some kind of cataclysmic apocalyptic type thing happens where the earth floods.
Okay.
And they're just stuck on this little piece of their high school, their former boarding school campus. And it's completely insane. It's like all girls or females, and then throw in like Hangover. It's like a black comedy.
Okay.
But it's actually really good. I got obsessed with that.
Oh, it's got Emily Browning in it. I'm a fan of hers, actually.
Who's Emily? Who's she playing the show?
Let's see.
Emily Browning.
Zoe?
Yeah.
She's.
What else has she been in?
She was in the TV show from Starz TV, which I really liked, American Gods, if you've seen that.
Have not.
She was in The Affair. She was also
hold on. Who did she play in The Affair? That show is killer.
Let me see real quick.
Did you ever watch that?
I did not.
That's it's a really, quote, the great Trey Wallace. It's trippy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very unique. Like, they do half the show from one character's point of view.
Sierra was her character in The Affair.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly who she is now. Yes. I knew her from somewhere. She's really good in it. It's a lot of Australian. It's mainly Australian actresses.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it's absolutely hysterical.
She was also in Lemony Snicket, the one with Jim Carrey.
Never saw it.
I enjoyed those books as a kid, so I did watch it.
I think I may be going to see Wick 4 tonight.
Ooh. Let me know if you like it, because I loved the first three, and I really want to see this one.
JR off Talk Sports, Big John.
Yeah.
He said it was incredible. Like cinematography and just the overall film.
Keanu Reeves is one of those guys that I feel like most of his movies end up being pretty, pretty good. I'm weird though, like I also like purposely like movies that aren't probably gonna be great.
He says visually it's incredible.
Hmm.
The movie, so I kind of figured it was, but I'm a big fan of. I may go do that tonight, may not.
Let me know. I'm going to try to see it at some point. I've been wanting to. The other one.
I like going to theater by myself.
I do that sometimes too.
I do that primarily. Unless my kid. I haven't been to a movie theater since the pandemic though.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Like they gave me a list of places that I couldn't go when they put me in quarantine.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I remember it was...
Movie theaters, big box stores, nightclubs.
2021, I think it was. Or maybe it was 22. One of the theaters in Knoxville was doing Die Hard around Christmas.
I don't know why. It's not a Christmas movie.
It absolutely is. And so they were doing it in, as a showing. I was like, oh, I've always wanted to watch that in theaters. That'd be super cool. So I went, and I got the little flake of the kernel popcorn in the back of my throat. And I was like, oh, no. People are going to think that I am sick.
Oh, that you got corona?
Because I was like trying to hold back a cough, and I'm like, I can't handle this.
Why not wash the flake down with a delicious sip off your beverage?
I think I tried, or I either ran out. I can't remember which one it was.
You just ran out?
Well, because I usually start with the drink first before I get into the popcorn. I don't know why. And I think I just got a small drink because I didn't want anything too big.
What kind of dummy drinks his entire drink before even taking a kernel of the corn?
I was risking it.
It's designed to make you drink more so you go buy their expensive soft drinks at the...
That's true.
That what is are you true. Thinking, man?
I don't know. But I was
I
like...
Know how you just bumble through life, son.
I do sometimes. There's certain aspects of my life that I just let life happen. You know, just as they said in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. Somehow I've made it through still.
Yeah. I mean, I have too.
But movie theaters, I've always loved that experience. There was a theater that I went once, and I was the only person in that theater, and it was like the best moment. I was so fortunate. I was like, I could just relax, didn't have to worry about other people, and I could just enjoy the movie. It was incredible.
Yeah. Who do you think you're talking to? Back when I was a kid, they didn't, you know, we had cable TV, but it was like 30 channels.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I mean, but like my generation, Gen X, which I'm a proud member of, I mean, we're last great movie theater generation. Oh, you had. And then during the summertime, they'd show the kids movies over at... See, there used to be a theater over at Westtown Mall. That's where I saw E.T., The Empire Strikes Back, all kinds of movies, like the big ones.
Did you ever sneak into movies?
No, because like my pop would... I mean, and it wasn't like it is now where everything's super-duper expensive, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, if we did bare minimum around the house, he'd always, you know, anytime we wanted to go to a movie, he'd throw us, you know, the money to go see a movie.
Sure. Before they did the, like, mandatory.
Yeah, he wouldn't give us money for the.
The snacks.
Yeah, no, like, I remember he took me and all my buddies to see several. My dad always took us to the movies for some reason. He loved movies. He took us to see the first Star Wars in the theater. I think we were all, like, in, like, either kindergarten or first grade, whenever it came out, second grade or something. And my dad was the master. I've never seen a smuggler be able to smuggle outside food and drink into a theater or any place that didn't allow it.
Yeah.
Like my old man. Some artists work in oils, others in colors. He'd get a 12-pack of soda and all the treats you'd want into the theater. He just keep pulling stuff out of his pockets.
I used to. I don't know if I still have it. I used to have a jacket that I got from a thrift store just because I liked it. And then I discovered there was a zipper on the inside.
Yeah.
And so my friend and I would smuggle things that way. But before they did the assigned seating, we snuck into one theater and it was...
Oh, now here's what I have done.
Yeah.
Here's what I have done. Did it on more than once. It was just a rough time. I was going through a rough time and let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
But I would go to a movie, like first movie of the day. And then if I hadn't seen the movie, I would just keep going to the next theater for the next show, for the next movie.
Oh, like just stay in the theater?
Yeah, I watched three movies in one day like that. And only paid one time.
So the way I did it once, I kind of felt bad about it because I don't know. But it was before assigned seating, and they'd have, like, the guard at each wing of the theater. I went ahead and bought the snacks, and then I went up to the guy, and he said, do you have your ticket? I said, no, I came out to get snacks. I left it in there, or I already threw it away or something like that.
Yeah. That's another thing. We'll get more into that when we get Russ back in here with us. Thanks, everybody, for riding along with us this afternoon. We'll be back at 3 p.m. tomorrow with another exciting edition of The Drive. Overtime's coming up next. You're listening to us on Fan Run Radio.